Hi, I'm Mike Holvey, President and CEO of the RAB, and this is Radio on Main Street, the podcast all about radio. Earlier this year, we attended the NAB show in Las Vegas. Over a five-day period, the convention brought together over 61,000 attendees. We spent 5 days in Las Vegas talking about everything from sales to recruitment to AI and certainly innovative technologies that were impacting the radio industry. RAB's immediate past CEO, Erica Farber, and I had the opportunity to sit down with thought leaders from across the industry, and we heard about their plans for the future. We'd like to thank Inco and Benstown for allowing us to record live in their exhibit booth every day of the convention, including a few live stream interviews. In the 9th episode of the series, we hear a conversation that I had with my good friend Kevin Perry. He is president and CEO of Perry Publishing and Broadcasting, a second-generation broadcaster operating out of Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. With 16 radio stations around the country, as well as a newspaper publisher, which is where the family's journey in the media business began back in 1979.
It's Radio on Main Street at the NAB with the RAB and Kevin Perry, who is the president and CEO of Perry Publishing and Broadcasting from the great Midwest area, joins us on the floor of NAB. And welcome to Main Street. Isn't this an awesome setup?
Mike, this is beautiful, man. This setup is dynamic. When you walk by, the art of what we do is beautiful, right?
Yeah.
So, I always say that we are the theater of the mind with radio and broadcasting, but how it has expanded to where we are today.
Yeah. And here, it's a radio podcast with all the video components right in the middle of the action of the NAB Fuller. It's pretty cool.
Oh, it's very cool. Actually, now I can honestly say that my sons will know that their dad is cool.
I'm glad that the RAB had something to do with you
being
cool. But I've known you for a long time, and you didn't need this for that.
But, oh, I did, man. I did.
Well, tell us about your company and the family and how things are going at
the moment. Well, I want to first of all say thank you for having me and thank the RAB for having me. Our family, I'm a very blessed man. I am the second generation of broadcasting. I work for my father, Russell Perry, who is our owner and operator. You know, titles are titles, but I answer to whatever he calls me.
Yeah.
And we're based out of Oklahoma City. We have 16 radio stations throughout the United States, Oklahoma City, Tulsa, Northwest Arkansas, and Augusta, Georgia. All this was started by that other medium that called newspaper, a weekly newspaper, the Black Chronicle newspaper, which we still print today. And with that, we are in business and in radio, but in media since 1979.
So you take a look at your family journey through what is radio, and I subscribe that the definition of radio has changed. I mean, to pictures and digital and on-site and engagement and community leadership, which has always been part of it, but in much, much different ways. How would you evaluate the landscape that is radio today?
You know what? It's kind of like what we talked about earlier. Radio has always been about content, right? What drives people to stop and listen to you? I think radio has to be engaged with the communities that they serve. Starts with content, starts with localism, it starts with commitment, right? And so I think that radio is a medium that people, which I always say, with all these different things that people consume, radio still enables the listener to hold someone accountable, right? If there's something wrong or going on in the community, they call their radio station to confirm if it's good or if it's bad. So I think if you're tied into a community that you serve, you'll be fine.
When we think about our advertisers and our partners in commerce in each of our communities, you know, we're problem solvers.
Yes.
And we do it in very unique ways. What are some of the things that are happening in your company that you're proud of with the way you're solving problems for your client partners?
Well, first of all, anyone who's watching this and they're in the medium business, isn't it great? And I'm a salesman at heart, right? And I love when some local client gives me their dollar to grow their business, right? You grow their business, and that problem is when you open the door, it's not a problem, but it's a concern. It's a concern, can I make a profit? And they allow us to help them get there. Then also a problem solving is too. School districts, elected officials, information. We just talked about COVID that we have just come on the other side of. Information about COVID. Do I take the vaccination or do I not? So those type of things of giving that information to your communities and then being there to be accountable, that's what it's all about.
You bring up COVID, and I had heard a story, and it's happened repeatedly across the country in different markets, but a local listener calls the radio station and they ask the host, should I get the vaccine or not?
Yeah.
Like, they would believe the local, and taking nothing away from the competency of our content professionals, but the listeners feel so comfortable, right? And engaged with the people that are on the air on our radio stations, that they would ask them, do I get the vaccine or not?
But Mike, you use the word comfortable, but what you're really saying, they trust.
Right.
Yeah, and therein lies the fabric of what we do, right? I was listening to, and I won't do a shameless plug, but I was listening to, actually watching a game, NBA game, and the announcer said, do you have a podcast, to the color analyst? And the color analyst said, everyone has a podcast. I don't need to create another one. But that radio is tried and true and can be found. And so, no, I think it's great. COVID proved the theory of what we do and what we provide.
Yeah. I know you're very active on the NAB board.
Yes.
You and I had shared time on the board, and I appreciate your leadership.
I'm just following you, Mike. I'm just following you.
I'll be over. I'm at the RAB now. You come, always come to see me here.
Well, I sit on the board at the RAB, too.
I know.
All right.
But I wanted to bring up a legislative issue that ties back to what I think just proves beyond a shadow of a doubt, you know, why this medium is so special. And when you look at the AM radio issue.
Yes.
And you look at the outcry, not just from the industry.
Yeah.
You look at the outcry, I mean, this is Radio on Main Street podcast.
Yes.
But you look at the outcry from Main Street about the relationship that the communities have with their local radio station. And when there was a threat, when there was a threat to that.
Yes.
Although, I mean, it came from every corner.
Yes.
Don't mess with my local radio station.
Yeah.
And it was heard loud and clear.
That's right.
Across the country, not only on Capitol Hill, but across the country. And to me, that's beyond an anecdotal example of the power of what we do with our relationships with our communities.
I agree. And I also would like to say is that thank you to the Congress who signed up and supported our cause of keeping AM in the cars and making manufacturers stay with AM in the dashboard. But I have to give a quick story. We in Oklahoma City, we have AMs. In Oklahoma City, we have a heritage radio station, KRMP, 1140 AM, which has a translator. The translator's been on. FM translator's been there for multiple years. And we'll get a phone call, and I'll drive in listening to, I check every station we have in the marketplace. Right. But then when I get in that car, get in the building, we'll get a phone call, say, hey, your radio station's off the air. And I'm calling the engineer, and he said, Kevin, the AM's off the air. But the FM's still on. No, but there's listeners that the only thing they want to listen to is the AM. And I agree with you. If it's done right, back to what we said earlier, it's a fabric of the community.
All right, let me give you another anecdotal story. Years ago in the market that my father lives in, we put sports, we simulcast the University of Illinois broadcast games on AM and FM. And one night my father calls and he said, you know, it was a stormy night, and you got some of that interference. Just I think that's part of the, you know, it's the nuance of it. Anyway, and I said, well, Dad, why don't you just flip on the FM then, if you want to listen to the broadcast and you're concerned, just flip over the FM. He goes, son, you listen to sports on AM.
I like that.
I love that.
I like that.
Let's talk about the future. So as you look forward, what do you see?
What we're doing today.
Yeah.
We're doing audio. We're doing video. I think that it's integration. I think that radio has to do an excellent job to go be everywhere. We have to be integrated with social media. We have to be integrated with video streaming. And I think when it's all said and done, the fabric and the foundation of that integration will be radio, but it has to be a part of everything. And so nothing new, something that we've done every day. One thing I love about radio, I always say this. We're an imperfect medium. I don't want to be perfect. You ever listen to the radio? Well, I don't know if a song skips anymore, but you have...
It buffers, maybe.
Yeah, there you go. That's what we're all about, and we move and change on the fly, and we're successful with that. So I just think the future is now. This great medium we're doing right now is a part of that, and I think that any broadcaster who watches this in radio, you need to be doing both. One thing I love about competing, right? My mother always say competition, the consumer wins with competition. Mm-hmm. My mother always says that. And we do a lot of video streams of college and high school sports, back to sports again. We do select games of simulcasting, that's audio stream to certain radio stations. Do you know that we have schools fighting for both? They know they have the video stream, but they want to be on that radio. We have to realize and accept that we still are a viable, strong, rich medium that we need to recognize.
Isn't that exciting, though? To me, it's the, as we talked a little bit earlier, it is the redefinition of the word radio.
Yeah.
Again, you and I are about the same age. You're a little younger. But
I'm much younger, man.
Yeah, much younger. Thank you, Kevin.
I look older, though, man.
But it used to be that radio was an appliance.
Yes.
Like, it sat on the, you know, it's my daughter, 36 years old, she made a comment. She goes, "Daddy, you know, the only thing that hasn't changed in 40 years is the toaster. You can only toast your bread a certain way, and it still sits on the shelf and does a thing." But you think about it, you know, radio used to be an appliance.
Yeah. Never thought of it like that. That's
right. And it was a one-way street.
Yeah.
I mean, it was out, you know, it was out to in, into the home or the car. And now, to your point, all the things from social media, all the touch points, digital, streaming,
yes,
podcast, it, what we're doing today here on the floor of the NAB,
yeah,
it's just evolved and changed. But I think that's part of the magic of the future.
I agree.
And what's exciting is, you know, 10 years from now, Kevin, what's this?
Oh, that's,
I mean,
yeah,
I'm holding up my,
yeah,
iPhone.
Yeah.
What's, for those that are listening to the podcast, what's this in 10 years? But what I don't know, but what I do know is radio, as defined at that time, will be there.
I agree. And I will say this, is that how we feel and love radio, we need to make sure that we are get this in front of the people who are decision makers of how they allocate funds to reach consumers.
Right.
As I mentioned earlier, we have a new weekly newspaper that we still print every week. The media buyers for our business are getting younger and younger, and we have to make sure that we speak their language to understand what we do. And that's the integration of that phone that you held up or the computer that allows you to talk to people. I just think all that has to happen. And so radio is in a great position, but it's also even great what I was very inspired by today walking around here. There are a lot of young people. And that is a great sign that our industry will continue to do well and flourish and grow.
You brought up the ad buyers and the ad buying community. And one of the things that we hear back is the term attribution.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And, you know, radio, anecdotally, we know radio delivers results.
Yes.
You know, certainly a long time in our RAB vernacular. We know that. I mean, without question. But in today's environment, it takes more than that to be able to document, improve, and answer questions that are asked that perhaps some of our competitors in the digital space push a button and there it is.
Yes, yes.
What do we say to that? I mean, when you look forward in that particular situation, we've got some technologies, we know we've been asked. Where are you at in that?
Should I be politically correct on this? You know, with all this technology, the methodology to show what we do and what we present is still antiquated. And it's controlled, I believe, by it's not enough diversity of showing what we can do, right? And until that changes, we'll forever have that battle. And what you're speaking of, a return on investment or ROI from a local person or local business, that's easier to present. When you're dealing with ad agencies and they're looking for what you just mentioned, well, we're very limited to show how we can give them those kind of results that you mentioned. So we have to get that change.
Right.
One thing I want to make note of about our business, it's a very expensive business. And so everything we talked about is great, but it costs money to do.
Right.
And when it costs, you have to be able to find different ways to monetize that. And that's why we do a lot of different things other than just selling spots.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things that go with that. But if I had, if I was a individual and had some money, would I buy a radio station? Yes, I would.
Yeah.
Immediately, right?
Yeah.
I love the business.
No, you definitely, in your family, you believe in it.
I believe in it.
And you double down on it. And that's...
Yeah, I double down on it, and my mother would look at me.
May not have been the only time that happened. You mentioned young people here at the show.
Yes.
And again, as we recorded our podcast today, Erica and I just left a session it was standing room only.
Wow.
It was all college students.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
And it was college students that were paid for by the radio industry to be here in terms of providing scholarships through the Student Scholar Program to ensure that we have the next generation present and we're seeding the future. What do you tell young people who come walking in and knock on your door and say, I want to be in radio?
Wow. You know what I tell young people that we forget sometimes, at least I do because I'm always in the middle of the race. It's a fun business. You know, we kind of, at least sometimes I forget that it's a fun business. Number two, if you are inspired to make money, you can make money. If you're inspired to make a difference in the community, you can make a difference. Or if you're inspired to be creative and be a curator, you can do that as well. So there's a lot of different things that I think as an individual, when you become responsible as a college student, as an adult, to make a living for yourself, whatever drives you, our business will allow you to do so. And another thing that I love about our business, no day is the same.
No day is the same.
Oh, I don't care how you have it planned. And I don't care if you're entry level into a media company. I don't care if you're an executive. I don't care if you're a DJ or salesperson. No day's the same. I love that about our business. Love that.
How has the pandemic, and we've got just a couple of minutes to go here, how has the pandemic impacted your business today? I mean, we're through the pandemic times.
Sure.
It's now 2024, kind of halfway through.
What has affected that is like everyone. It's hard to find good people.
Yeah.
It's hard. One thing about, and as I mentioned, I am so blessed. I'm the luckiest man in the world. I work for my dad. Mm. It's all I've ever wanted to do. And so being a second generation, he has a lot of people that have been with him for two or three decades. Mm. Then you have some folks who, after the pandemic, they decided that they just didn't want to do it anymore. Or you're trying to find a workforce that's inspired to work again, right? There is still some things that people are trying to fight through. On the business side of the pandemic, we all did what we had to do to stay in business, right? And you cut deals and you go back to the client and say, hey, man, I know that was for the pandemic, but can we get back on the accord we were? Some don't want to do that. So you lose relationships that way. So it's still a fight every day. I think that as looking at the attendance here, we're here. You know, one thing that I always like to say about what we do, we are in the people moving business. We move people, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, look at this. We're here. So at the end of the day, moving people is what we do. And I want people who are watching and listening, always remember this. Oh, well, everyone's on social media. Everyone's digital. Everyone is radio. Radio, at the end of the day, is the infrastructure of moving people. All those other things I just mentioned are very great compliments. And remembering that, you'll be fine.
Well, I was going to ask you if you had one message that you wanted to leave at the end of this podcast, and you just did it. So you were projecting forward. One of Erica's favorite questions, you know, as we wrap up this series is, you know, radio works why? Radio matters because. Answer that.
Radio matters because it's the fabric of your community when done right. Radio matters when you're in that car or with your phone and hit that app and it's still local. It lets you know that you're still in tune and in touch with your community. You're never alone. And if done correctly and done responsibly, that listener will always feel that way. And back to what my mother says, the community wins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you,
leader. And congratulations
on
your leadership role. I'm going to miss Miss Erica.
Oh.
As we all do in our business, I have many stories about her, how she helped me and my family to be able to sit here today. And I'm so thankful that you are the leader now, because I know that you're getting ready to take the baton and continue to take us to new heights.
We are been blessed by Erica Farber's leadership.
Yes, we have. Yes, we have.
And we're going to build upon it. That's my mission.
That's right. Don't kick me off the board anytime
soon.
You're
not going anywhere, my man. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you
very
much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Heaven's enthusiasm for the radio business is high, and his belief in localism and commitment as a local broadcaster to the communities that he serves is a key factor in their company's success. As a local broadcaster committed to helping local clients grow their business and provide his listeners with information that they need on a daily basis speaks to the strength of local broadcasting. And as Kevin says, we have to look to the future, be integrated everywhere with audio, video, as well as all new technologies, so that we are speaking to the next generation's language. And remind folks that radio is still a fun business and that no day is ever the same.
If you'd like to learn more about radio and its many benefits, we invite you to visit us at rab.com, or you can email us directly at askrab@rab.com. Until next time, it's Radio on Main Street.